This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
The Southern California business environment, what's happening now? Joining me today is Deborah Gantz, Senior Vice President, Group Director for Signature Bank here in California. As a premier banker, she partners with middle market firms in developing unique financial solutions. She's one of the initial California team members in Signature Bank's expansion into California. She can offer creative solutions with a very high-touch, one-point-of-contact service. Deborah enjoys putting her international experience to work with her domestic clients. After earning her MBA at UCLA Anderson, she took the opportunity to fulfill one of her dreams, working internationally. Always the banker, she worked in Europe, Ecuador, and Mexico with Citibank and ING Bearings in corporate and middle market banking. When she's not in her day job, she spends time giving back to the community she cares so much about. She currently serves on the board of Fit for the Cause. Debbie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for having me on.
Great. To get started, looking at the trade cycle here in Southern California, what are your observations with supply chain issues and shipping, alternative inventory issues? How, as your perch as a banker, what are you seeing?
I basically see that my customers during this pandemic, it became very highlighted. I think it's always been an issue, and with the pandemic, we reached some very a lot of disruptions in the supply chain, and companies are looking for alternatives. I think about 10 years ago, the Mexican maquiladora model was very, very effective, but many companies decided to transition to offshore Asian, China, Vietnam models. And during this pandemic, there's a scarcity of products, there were delays, which obviously impacted customer experience. So in part, which is very interesting for me, is I'm starting to see companies looking for alternatives, and the maquiladora model is coming back. So the Mexican maquiladoras were very effective, and some of them were incredibly high quality and met U.S. standards. So I have seen some of my customers looking for alternatives to outside of China, which in some cases are shortening that trade cycle, but also even has a better control of quality. So that's, I think, number one. I think everybody was impacted by this. And to me, that's the biggest change that I'm seeing. And banks, in our place, have to be to react to that. Also, you're seeing, as a result of the increased cost, you're seeing a lot of companies during the pandemic review every aspect of their business, but in particular sourcing, inventory practices. So it's interesting. Many companies have completely altered their inventory management systems to adjust in time system or more particular in understanding what commodities are required on premise and fine-tuning that model, because it just became costly to bring goods over, not only on a time basis, but also I think you've seen that shipping costs, container costs, all that has increased exponentially over the past year. And also the storage. I mean, it's not uncommon for California storage or even national storage units to realize that there's this issue and have also increased their costs. So the only way to really impact that is to change your inventory model and your purchasing habits, which also leads on to some of the changes in sales strategy that were prompted for change as a result of COVID. So that's what I'm seeing in large part, and then the banks are also need to change their, and many times sit down with the clients and realign some of the financial solutions or credit facilities that are in place because they no longer are adequate for these new realities.
Debbie, from the standpoint of the customer and these disruptions, this retooling, what's your perception of what you're seeing with the customer experience? Are they being affected and experiencing something much different than what they did pre-COVID?
So you're talking about the customer being my clients, my middle market clients, or the end consumer?
The end consumer, from what you see with the companies that you're working for, do you see their experience being affected?
Well, definitely. The end consumer is seeing increased prices. Many of my customers are begrudgingly need to transfer these price increases to the customer. So the customer is seeing increased prices. They have seen delays in receiving goods. And, I mean, we just look at our auto industry. There is a supply shortage, and so there is an impact on the customer at the end, be it price, be it timeliness, be it availability of a product, because you're having impacts in the manufacturing side as well as the distribution side.
And turning to the small middle market, which we both know Southern California is a huge small middle market, how are you seeing the firms that you work with, how are you seeing them retooling their companies? Is their production approach for manufacturers, for distributors, let alone service companies, do you see that being altered coming out of the pandemic and some catalysts, the result of the pandemic being a catalyst for change and retooling?
I think the pandemic was an incredible catalyst for change in various aspects. Let's take a look at, I think one is the overall viability and continuation of a company. Even companies that were solid and survived the pandemic, as you know, in little market in California, many of them are privately held family organizations. And it got to the point where we've gone through these periods of economic uncertainty. But this one was a little different, and I've seen some of the owners of these companies take a look and not looking at operations, but looking at longevity, saying, do I really want to go through this again? As a result, some of them were not prepared and have begun looking at that exit strategy, checking internally, do I have a family member that can take this over? Do I have employees that might be able to take this over? What is my time frame? Do I really want to stay here? And I've seen a lot of succession planning that probably should have occurred a couple of years before, fast track right now. So I think in that side, there has been a big shift in privately held companies, and there's a lot of money out there to be had for these companies, and so it's sparked an interest. I think, secondly, companies, which is interesting, I think the last Great Recession, many companies had already downsized and had become lean, mean machines, which was excellent. And to its credit, at that recession a while back, we had very highly leveraged companies. And a highly leveraged company is a big risk that they will not survive. I don't think we had that high leverage in the companies that I've worked with and have seen. You didn't have that high leverage risk that we had prior. So they were, there was some balance sheets were strong, let's just say it that way. But then it took, I think the pandemic gave every company a time to, okay, let's stop and let's look under the hood. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? How do we enhance those strengths? And how do we make sure that these weaknesses are not fatal flaws? So as a result of that, we've seen, and also, how are we going to work in a remote environment? Are the sales strategies or our sales channels effective in what could be a prolonged remote sales cycle? So it's interesting. I've seen on the part of my company, the company that I'm working with, they took opportunity to really retool, meaning, for example, there has been refinance in some of these companies, owner-occupied buildings, but instead of just taking advantage of a rate, of beneficial rate, they're utilizing excess funds to reinvest in the company. They're utilizing excess funds to invest in systems that provide, as we discussed earlier, more a stronger inventory management control, systems that will automate. It really tries to fine-tune that operations area. And also with the scarcity of employees, and every single company that I'm speaking to is having a personnel issue. There are not enough employees. So trying to really make do, maybe on an automation part platform, until this labor market changes a bit. Which is heartening, which is enlightening to me, is a lot of companies are taking the best time to reinvest in their operation, in production, which is a good sign that we're turning the corner. On the sales side, it's the same way. Many companies who were brick and mortar retail based changed to a remote model, to an Amazon model, to an online sales model, and had to change a lot of it operationally, because you needed to, since there wasn't really any office presence, had to find solutions, and that took a lot of the systems or technological retooling.
The Southern California business environment. Deborah Gantz, our guest, Senior Vice President, Signature Bank, shares her thoughts. Up next, we'll talk about real estate. Debbie, here in Southern California, obviously real estate is a major piece of the economy. What are you seeing there? Do you see the market is still being hot?
Yes, particularly, well, retail not so much. Office is a little bit scary right now because of what has happened with COVID and the remote environment. But in the area of manufacturing, warehouse distribution, it is difficult to find large space, and it's difficult to find a supply. And it's interesting because you do have the investor market, but I am seeing a lot more of the owner-occupied market, which is good. People are still taking advantage of the refi boom, but as I had mentioned earlier, they're also using the time to take equity in the business, in the real estate, and reinvest in the business for longer-term growth, which is very good. We have not seen a decline at all in demand on the real estate side, and I don't foresee this changing quickly. We are seeing some of our businesses look out of state with maybe distribution warehousing, but still maintaining a large presence in California, because we still are, a manufacturing center, we're an entertainment center. It's still a hub for business.
And Debbie, for staffing, we're seeing data saying that there's more jobs than qualified people of working age to fill them. Are you seeing with various companies throughout the industries, professions that exist here in Southern California, are you seeing that that companies just don't have enough people to hire or qualify people to hire that they need now?
Without a doubt. And it spans from not just manufacturing, distribution, and the service industry as well. As a result, even if one of my companies, for example, has a very high demand, but the other subcontractors cannot force employees, and it is impacting. They have to change or revise their strategy with their employees because it's just along the lines. I've never seen, even you just walk down or drive down some parts of the San Fernando Valley, you're seeing $1,000 to find an employee or big bonuses to try to get people in the door. And so there is a scarcity at all levels. It's on the professional level. It's on the manufacturing level. It's pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah, and along with it, with wage increases. As you just mentioned, the incentives for employees being given, or potential new employees being given, bonuses on the front end and as incentives to join a firm, together with increased wages. I'm seeing with the companies that I work for, wages, across manufacturing, distribution, professional firms, even nonprofits, that wages are going up.
Exactly, which then again goes to the point that they have to become much more efficient and look at other costs, because that is not going to go away anytime soon. So that's why I'm seeing companies trying to become more operationally efficient, try to utilize a little bit more automation if possible, and put in systems that truly are measures and management reporting and management tools. It's very interesting. I think this, not just automation, you're really seeing management focusing on having the correct reporting tools to dig into their businesses and make them ongoing viable entities, continuing the profitability.
This is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. I'm in conversation with Deborah Gentz, California banking leader. Debbie, as we move forward, we know the PPP is now finished, that the punch bowl has been emptied. What effects, the after effects, at least initially, are you seeing with the PPP aid now in the rearview mirror?
It's in the rearview mirror, and it truly did what it was supposed to do. And I'm seeing companies that they needed that to survive. And what right now we're still doing the forgiveness, and it's interesting because the SBA is digging in to some of these and really confirming that the funds were used for what they were needed, and that the funds were. They are doing a very thorough job on this, and the forgiveness portal is a bit slow at this moment because there's a lot of PPP forgiveness out there. I think the companies that I'm looking at have, and I'm talking outside the hospitality and the restaurant industry, but the pure companies that are the manufacturers, distributors, wholesalers in California. I think it serves its purpose, and they are coming back, and in many of them even better than pre-COVID format. They have. What's interesting is many of these companies, as I alluded to, have changed their strategies, and the banks or whoever their financial forces has been able to come in and realign the credit facilities to in line with their new reality, and their new trade cycle and their new CapEx needs. So many of them are in a better position than they were pre-COVID, and which is good. It's just a sign of strong management. There are some very well-managed middle-market companies that have been able to come out of this better than before. So I think that PPP, right now it is still strong in the forgiveness. It is taking some time. But I think we're well positioned for growth in the upcoming years. Strong management really prevailed. And it was interesting, some of my customers saw this as an opportunity for expansion of alliance and just really did phenomenal things to position themselves going forward, finding, be it acquisition targets, finding other companies that they could align with, and I think even better position than they were pre-COVID, as I noted.
Are you finding that generational companies have taken this as an opportunity coming out of, or during the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, to really look at transitioning and either to professional management, selling, merging, some firms that were hurt and the existing guard, it just doesn't have the energy to, rebuild again. Do you find that there's a lot of, let's say, a lot in play with
all of the above, definitely.
A lot of generational firms making changes?
Definitely. Because particularly the family firms here in California are strong, and many of the patriarchs or matriarchs were baby boomers. And never, it was, okay, I'll sort of kicking the can down the road. And during this time period, I think there's two aspects. They really took time to take, everybody had to take a step back and look at what they have under the hood. And that includes managerial succession. And some of the baby boomers were considering retiring and said, I'm done. I don't want to go through this again. This was more than that they had bargained for. So, as I said, a succession planning that should have been done a few years back was fast-tracked. And you're seeing a lot of these family-owned companies either really decide and structure and who the next generational leader would be, or what team, or should I sell it to employees? What are the employees that are critical to these companies? Or get me ready in a fast track to sell, all or part, and how many years do I need to be associated with the company as this new leadership or new ownership team comes in? But that definitely, more than I've seen in any other period, occurred in these multi-generational companies.
Yeah, I could even imagine that even ESOPs are becoming more in focus due to these types of circumstances. Are you seeing that?
Yes, I am. ESOPs are being put in consideration because you really saw at this time, who are the key players? Who are the key employees that allowed this company to survive during COVID? Or prosper during COVID, and a lot of the baby boomers and I use the generational leaders know that this is probably a good way to retain these people and keep the legacy going. So I am seeing that all of these opportunities, which is interesting, they should have been thought about a few years back, but it really gave people time to focus on what should be focused upon. And all these alternatives are being discussed.
For international companies coming to California, has this, what's been happening not only here in the United States but internationally, and compared to other economies, their growth prospects, the market, are you seeing California being attractive to international companies?
Very much so. And when it first, we're seeing quite a bit of companies coming over from Europe, Australia, more than anything. And it sort of took me aback at first, but then when I started discussing it with them, they said, we need a market. Europe obviously is a limited market in size, and there are always uncertainties there. And the United States is still a very large market. And during COVID, it gave them also opportunities to really structure sales platforms here. And so we have seen quite a few companies, be it companies that are already European companies and expanding with a division out here in California and opening a testing market, or that I think that's the bulk of it, truly, who are coming to test the market and continue growth, because it's California and the United States in general is still seen as a growth market for European companies. And a lot of them are not. We do have a few that are older companies, but a lot of them are newer companies and rather new or innovative segments in food or vitamins or beauty that are coming to the California market to test a relatively new product. We are still an engine, and a lot of that also is attributed to some of the efforts of the Los Angeles, the World Trade Center at LA, which I hear quite a bit, and the Los Angeles Economic Development Corporation. They are really making an effort to bring those companies here.
Deborah, as we wrap up, how can listeners reach you to learn more?
Oh, I'd love Well, thank you. They could reach me on my email if they'd like at dgans@signatureny.com or call me on my cell phone at 818-456-8045.
Debbie, thanks so much for the time today, and thanks so much for the conversation. I'm sure our listeners will benefit from everything that you've shared.
Thank you, Michael. Have a great day.
Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson. And this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io, powered by InfoGen Labs, Inc. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on the Anderson Files.